because without finances, like, money doesn't solve all your problems, but it solves all your money problems. And money solves all of your basic needs, right? Like your housing, your food, your shelter, all the things. So it's very important, but most people feel so stressed and overwhelmed by it. And so what we find so amazing about real estate and multifamily in general is that it's not complicated. Like, it might feel like it at first, but once you get down to it, there's really only a few levers that really matter. Mm-hmm. And if you understand how those levers go together and when to pull which ones, you can get your head around them.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to introduce our guest for the day, Anthony Bacino. Anthony, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Well, really excited to hear all about everything that you're working on and your background in real estate. Everyone, Anthony is the best-selling author, real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur committed to helping people maximize their return on life. He's also the host of two separate podcasts. And I'd love to now hand it over to you, Anthony, to tell us a bit about how and why you got into real estate, and we'll go from there.
So real estate was interesting because the universe kept trying to put it in front of me at multiple points in my life, kind of like shoving it in my face, and I kept ignoring it. It was like, nope, not interested. The first time was I was in college and my roommate and his dad were fixing and flipping single family homes, and I was living with them for cheap and just doing construction and helping them with that. And so that was my first experience with real estate. And all I learned out of that was I can swing a hammer, but I can't hit a nail. Like, I hate construction. I'm really bad with my hands. So that was my first taste of like, okay, fix and flips. If that's real estate, I don't want to do that. And I think a lot of people, that's their first entrance into real estate is like watching HGTV and seeing people like take a shanty with a hobo in it. And then they like put some paint on it. And now it's worth like $1 million. And they're like, that's cool. For me, I was like, I don't want to do that. So I walked away from real estate and didn't look back for about maybe 10 years. And until a friend came to me at a very different point in my life. And he's like, hey, I'm buying these quads. Do you want to do that together? And all I remembered at that point was like, construction sucks. No, I don't want to do that. But I believed in him and I believed in what he was doing. So I gave him money and I was like, you go do that. I support you. Go do that. I don't want any part of the active lifestyle. Thank you. And he went, and that was turned out to be a really great investment. But I wasn't really thinking about real estate as an investment at that point. I was thinking about my friend and investing in him. That's really what it was. And it wasn't until 5 years after that, this was, 8 years ago now, where the light bulb finally went off in my head. And I could see real estate as the vehicle of opportunity that it really was. And the way that I tell the story, and I don't know if this is actually how it happened, but this is how I tell it, is that I was driving into downtown Minneapolis one night, looking up at the skyline, and was hit with the question, who actually owns all these buildings? Like, that's a weird question to like reflect on when you're 30 years old. I never stopped to wonder, like, who owns that building or that building or that building? They're everywhere, but who owns them? And I had just kind of assumed that rich people or organizations, entities owned them, but I didn't really have the answer. So I went digging to find that answer. And in that digging, I discovered multifamily and the fact that a lot of apartment buildings aren't owned by rich people. They're owned by mom and pops, people not too different than us. In a lot of cases, it's friends and family pooling resources to buy these things. And I was like, that's really cool. And at that point in my life, I was building these other businesses that were, you know, dealing with polyurethanes and like really complicated chemistry. And I looked over at real estate and I was like, wow, that seems simple. That looks fun. Like, really?
Yeah.
So that's what led me to it. And that, you know, since getting to my first actively managed asset, I haven't looked back. It's been a lot of fun because like real estate is one of those things. It's like Legos. It's not very complicated. There's only so many ways that the bricks click together. But once you understand how they click together, the sky's the limit. You know, like your imagination is the only limiting factor of like how big or what you build with it. And so that's what real estate is for me at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. So you started out as a serial entrepreneur and then eventually kind of found your way to real estate. And are you still doing those other businesses or did you decide to pivot entirely towards real estate?
Yeah. So over the years, you know, I've done multiple businesses, built them and exited them. Then the only other company that I'm like really actively involved in is a manufacturing company. But at the end of 2020, it was revealed to me that I'm not super useful there anymore. Like we realized like every owner's worst nightmare, which is like, we had built a really great system that no longer needed us. That's not a bad problem. This is a good problem to have. Like, I was just like bored. Like we had a really great team. They were rock stars. There's great systems in place. And I was just like, I'm not really meaningfully contributing to this. So I need to turn my attention, my focus elsewhere. So I'm still involved in that company, but not in the day-to-day operations. And I focus exclusively on Invictus. And that's, it's a new problem set to solve. And so it's fun. It's engaging. And it's still in like the early life cycle, whereas like my other companies are in their later life cycles. So it's just different types of problems.
Yeah, for sure. Well, congratulations on, I think we talked about this before the show, but just for the listeners' benefit, what was that manufacturing company that you built and now, you know, worked yourself out of?
Yeah. So we are like a polyurethane cast molding company. And what we do is we make all of the rock climbing holds that you see when you go to an indoor climbing gym. And we're also the largest importer of hardware from China in the rock climbing space. So pretty much if you've ever been inside a climbing gym, you've climbed on some of our materials. And that's just stemming from the fact that like in a previous life, when I was much younger, I was a professional rock climber for many years. And so I just fell in love with that industry, had a unique skill set and a partner who's like a chemical genius and a manufacturing genius. Like don't ask me to make a hole.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. I assumed you had a background in rock climbing, but I didn't realize you were a professional rock climber. That's very cool. Do you see any connection between your professional rock climbing and like your interests as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting about rock climbing. I never really stopped to reflect on this until I was on another podcast and they're like, so what's the intersection between rock climbing and business? I was like, the thing that stands out is that in rock climbing, we're intentionally seeking out difficulty for this opportunity to prove ourselves. You know, we're seeking out that mountain or that chunk of rock. And it's arbitrary. Like we could walk up the backside of the mountain usually, or we could drive up to the top, or we could, there's so many different easier ways to get to the top, but we choose this path of resistance. And for me, entrepreneurship has always been about like, not so much about the like making money. It's about delivering something of value and of worth to the world. And that's never an easy thing. Like there's easier ways to make money than starting a business. Business can be a great way to make money, but it's not like the easiest. And so seeking out that difficulty to as this proving ground, this opportunity to say like, this is something that I built and I can do. Like that's where the intersection really like is the most obvious to me, I think.
For sure. Very cool. Okay. So tell us, how long have you been working on Invictus and what are you currently working on there?
So we formalized, my partner, Dan Krueger and I, we formalized Invictus Capital in 2019. We'd both been working separately since I started in about 2013, 2014 on my actively managed side of things. And I was just doing it on my own and Dan was doing things on his own. And in 2019 is when we formed Invictus with the exclusive goal of actually bringing in passive investors into our deals. Before that, we were doing all our own deals with our own money, paying the tuition of, you know, at the School of Hard Knocks with our own cash. And there was a reason why, like before Dan and I formed our partnership, I didn't really want to take other people's money. And it was because like, there was a time in my life when I was like, my fiance had just left me. I was $80,000 in debt and I was living in the back of a van. Like life was not going exactly how I thought it would. And so like the value of a dollar means a lot to me. Like I've done that mental jujitsu of like, I have $10 in my bank account. Can I put gas in the car or should I go eat, you know?
Yeah.
And so when it came time to like start raising money from passive investors, it was always like this very sacred thing to me of like, I need to be certain if I ever do that, that I can do right by it. And the only way that I can look somebody in the eye and say, I can do right by your money is by having done it previously. And so in 2019, Dan and I formed and he brought this other piece of the machine, which really complements the pieces of the machine that I bring. And so that was the moment where I was like, together, I can look an investor in the eye and say, we can do right by this. Separately, we probably can do okay. But together, that was the moment.
Yeah, very cool. I think that makes a lot of sense. And just knowing how, I mean, just really keeping your investors' capital like so protected and doing right by your investors. So that's really awesome. And are you buying multifamily or what other asset classes are you in?
We just do multifamily. We stay in our lane. We like to do the same thing over and over and over. So that's value add, Class C, Class B assets. We're exclusively focused in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. And the reason for that is like we're vertically integrated. So we have staff and employees that are handling and working with our residents every single day. And that makes it harder than if we want to branch out geographically, like going down to, say, Nashville would be hard because we don't have boots on the ground. We don't have a team there. And we focus on like that 15 to 60 unit space. And it's this beautiful Goldilocks zone where 15 units is a little bit too big for most of the small operators who are like doing triplexes and quads. And they look at that and they're like, that's too big, too scary. So they're not really playing in those waters. And then 60 units is too small for a lot of like the institutional players or other out-of-state investors. So it creates like this Goldilocks zone where we don't have a lot of competition because we're local. There's not a lot of people competing for the inventory. And so we have this opportunity to pick up things at like a pretty good rate. So that's been our niche.
Yeah, very cool. And are you in like Minneapolis and St. Paul kind of like proper, or do you go to like the outer lying areas? How do you decide where specifically?
So currently our entire portfolio is in Minneapolis, St. Paul proper. And in the last year, St. Paul just enacted some rent control ordinances that are making it very difficult to operate future assets in that market. And so we're starting to turn our focus a little bit to the western suburbs around Minneapolis. In like large part, the macroeconomic environment of Minneapolis is so strong that whether it's in the cities proper or it's starting to get into the suburbs, like you're going to do pretty well.
Yeah. For sure. So I'm curious about your two podcasts. Like I know you have one podcast called Passive Income Made Simple, right?
No. So that one is Multifamily Investing Made Simple.
Okay. Multifamily Investing Made Simple. And your book is Passive Investing Made Simple.
Yep. That's right.
And then you have another podcast called Brain Dump, which is about psychology. Mm-hmm. So just to ask about like your podcast, Multifamily Investing Made Simple, why did you choose that title? And like, what did you want to kind of communicate to your listeners?
Well, the title was chosen for two reasons in particular. One is the big problem with investing is that it's complicated and it feels overwhelming for most people, because if you're like me, you didn't grow up talking about money and you didn't talk about like investing in finance and all that stuff. And most people are in that same boat of feeling overwhelmed when it comes to investing. And so they struggle to make decisions about what they should invest in. And when you struggle to make a decision, you lose confidence, and then you start outsourcing things to other people because you trust that they know what's better. And so you kind of abdicate responsibility for this most important thing in your life, which is your financial health. Because without finances, like money doesn't solve all your problems, but it solves all your money problems. And money solves all of your basic needs, right? Like your housing, your food, your shelter, all the things. So it's very important, but most people feel so stressed and overwhelmed by it. And so what we find so amazing about real estate and multifamily in general is that it's not complicated. Like it might feel like it at first, but once you get down to it, there's really only a few levers that really matter. Mm-hmm. And if you understand how those levers go together and when to pull which ones, you can get your head around this. And most people, once they start to see that, the light bulb goes off and they're like, this is something that I could do or I could invest in. And so that's our goal, is like to make this as simple as possible, because at the end of the day, it's not rocket science. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is not super complicated. The other reason we chose the name was just for SEO purposes.
Yeah.
If you Google multifamily investing podcast, we're like number one that comes up.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, very cool. This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Well, tell us about your other podcast and why did you decide to separate the two?
Yeah. So the other one's called Brain Dump, and that's all about studying the psychology of success. That came about because I was on a podcast with a guy, Austin Linney, and it was a real estate business podcast. And we spent the whole time like just talking mindset because it's fascinating to me. And I think it's fascinating to most people, like entrepreneurs and investors, high achievers. They want to understand what it means, you know, to get the most out of their capacity in this life. And so for me, I have severe ADHD. So it's been a struggle my entire life, really trying to understand my own biology and my own psychology and how I can utilize frameworks and structures in my own day-to-day that allow me to be successful. And what's really fun about that podcast is like, it's about the psychology of success, but success is however you want to define it. And so it's a wide open pasture. Everybody defines it differently and we can play in all different, you know, murky waters of like, what's success mean when it comes to rest and recovery? Or what's it mean when we talk about identity? You know, like these are really fun aspects. So we broke it up just because, you know, we love just talking about that stuff and not letting like the business or real estate or investing seep into it. We don't want to be shackled by that.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of the ways that you have learned or experimented with that have helped you kind of cope with your ADHD, if you don't mind sharing?
No, absolutely. Like, this is one of my favorite topics, honestly, because it's something that was really, really rough on my life. Yeah. You know, I alluded to like living in that van, being in debt. Like that was a direct result of like severe ADHD. I'm not, you know, blaming that, but like the fact was, I was like really unfocused and undisciplined, unreliable, like all the things that make for just a terrible friend, a terrible lover, a terrible employee, like all these things. And like, I wanted to be better. I knew I had the capacity to be better, but I just couldn't figure out like how to unlock it. Like how to unlock that greatness within. I think a lot of people resonate with that. So for me, like the crazy turning point was like realizing that freedom comes through discipline. And it's so counterintuitive, but one of the problems was when I was really young, I went on Ritalin when I was 6 years old and I was on that drug until I was 16. And it had this unique effect on me where it made me feel trapped inside my body. Like I physically lost all my energy. I would go into like the zombie-like state. And so when I was given the choice of going off that drug at 16, I was like, I'm never doing that again. I like freedom's my highest value. I don't want anything that's going to ever impede on that.
Yeah.
But the problem is like freedom's almost tyrannical when you have infinite potentiality. Like when there's so many options that you don't know which way to go and your wheels are just spinning and you can't get traction in any one meaningful way. It's a horrible feeling. And that's where I spent the next like 15 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And so the realization that if I create structure and discipline and like time blocking my day, and then like actually holding myself accountable to my schedule, that within those time blocks, I can accomplish so much more because I'm holding myself disciplined to that result. And so that's like the really counterintuitive answer. But if you're somebody who just feels like they have so much potential and there's so many things that they want to do, but they don't feel like they're making progress towards it, it starts with like understanding what are your priorities and then actually prioritizing those things and then holding yourself to it, right? It's like so simple, so hard, but it's so powerful.
Yeah, for sure. So what kinds of structures did you end up putting in place for yourself that kind of allowed you to sort of start getting traction in a particular direction?
So the big one is time blocking my day. So every night at 7 p.m., I sit down and I look at my next day and I say, okay, if I was to schedule the perfect day, what would that look like? And then I start going through and I start prioritizing and scheduling block by block, hour by hour. What am I doing at any given time in that next day? And that reduces the amount of friction that I have in the moment of the next day of like, what am I supposed to be doing now? I don't have to think about that. I just look at my calendar. It says, oh, you're supposed to be writing right now. You're working on this new book. That's what I'm doing. It's no longer a debate or a question of what should I fill this time with? It's this is what you do. And now the only struggle is, will I actually sit down and do the thing, right? But that's a much easier barrier to entry. The other part is always being really clear about your priorities. Like you can only have one priority, right? Like the definition of the word priority implies that there is just one above all else. But we've kind of like created this monster term where we have priorities, and that's okay. As long as you understand how they rank and where they place so that you're always focusing on the things that matter the most. Like it's not enough to be busy. You have to be effective. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of us make is like, You could be doing so many different things at any given moment, but which one of those things is really going to move the needle? Focus on those things and forget everything else.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because, I mean, I totally think, agree entirely. And then there's also sometimes there's administrative things that need to get done to, you know, run a tight ship of a company, but they're not necessarily going to move the needle, but they are important. You know what I mean? What do you think about that and how to fit those in?
So I use what is referred to as the Eisenhower matrix to prioritize and look at tasks. So I'll try and draw a mental picture here. On the x-axis, we're going to measure things based off of urgency. And on the y-axis, we're going to measure things based on importance. And so if we're graphing things out based off of urgency and importance, then in the top right quadrant, in quadrant one, we're going to have something that's very urgent and very important. So it's a quadrant one tasks. And that's what we refer to as MIGs. These are the most important goals. But these are things that because they're urgent and they're important, they tend to get done. Because they have a time stamp and they are important, we do those things usually. It's when you move left to items that are very important, but not very urgent, that's when you land in quadrant two. And these are what we refer to as WIGs. So these are wildly important goals. These are things that if we don't schedule them, then they won't get done until they escalate to become urgent and important. And if we wait until that moment, then we're probably not going to do our best work on that thing. Yeah. So it's best to try and find the time beforehand. And so the way that we conceptualize this is MIGs, those things that are important and urgent, that's like eating. Like if you don't eat, you're not going to last very long. So it tends to get done. Whereas quadrant two is more like brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth for the next 10 years, it's probably not a big deal. But in 20 years, it's going to become a pretty big deal, right? Like you got some major health ramifications. So it's something that you have to find the time to do now. And that's where the administrative things come in, is that if you do not do those things now, then let's say when the tax man comes or when OSHA comes, now those things are very big and important. Now you probably aren't going to be able to do them very well. So the other quadrants, just for the sake of pointing them out, if it's very urgent, but not very important, that's going to be on the far bottom right. And that's going to be quadrant three. Those are tasks that should be delegated. So if it's urgent, but not important, we need to delegate those things. If we go to the left of that, it's not urgent and it's not important, then we just don't do those things. That's quadrant four. Those just need to be deleted.
Yeah, makes sense. So the MIGs, and what does MIG stand for again?
Most important goal.
Most important goal. Okay, urgent and important. And then there's the WIGs, which stands for?
Wildly important.
Wildly important. Okay. Yep. So is WIGs above MIGs?
So when it comes to planning, we need to make sure, we need to have a good understanding of what are those WIGs and what are those MIGs, and then making sure that both of those are getting scheduled in a way that isn't sacrificing one for the, one isn't sacrificing the present for the future and vice versa.
Yeah, for sure. I like that a lot because I've definitely seen this urgent and important graph or chart, but I haven't heard the MIGs and the WIGs. And I like the kind of the distinction between most important and wildly important there. Because ideally, if you get more of the WIGs done, then you have fewer MIGs, right?
Exactly.
But you have to do the MIGs as well, because they need to get done right now. Anyways, cool. And so then you can be in more of a proactive place rather than a reactive place if you're doing...
This is a framework that we use at all my companies, and we have 30, 40 employees at this point. And we use it as a way for each person in each department every week to sit down and say, what's your WIG for the week? What is that thing that's wildly important that needs to get done? Because if we don't schedule it, then it's going to become a problem in the future. So everybody in the company has a very clearly articulated WIG each week. The MIGs, we don't need to spend too much time talking about those because we're hiring rock stars and they don't miss deadlines. So that's not a problem. So we just need to make sure that those goals, those wildly important ones that are so far off in the future, that we put a deadline to that and bring it into the present so that those are getting done now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, awesome, awesome stuff, Anthony. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all about, you know, your story and some of your challenges and how you've overcome them. It's just really important stuff. So really appreciate you coming on. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah. If you want to learn about what we do at Invictus Multifamily, then just go to invictusmultifamily.com. We wrote a book a while back in August that came out and hit number one on Amazon, which is pretty darn cool. If you're interested in, it was really rad. If you guys are interested in like learning more about passive investing and creating passive income streams through apartment syndications, I'd recommend go checking that book out. You can email me. If you tell me, hey, I heard you on this podcast, I'll send you a copy of it for free. So that's my special deal to your audience is if you don't want to spend $5 on the book, that's cool. You don't have to.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I hope you check out Anthony's podcast and his book and you know what he's working on. Really awesome stuff. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.